Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cynical Series, and this is the ebook series where we methodically review and discuss Reverend Father Joseph Liuyanuzi's doctoral dissertation, which has ecclesiastical commendation, which is approval, in other words. So I'm going to unmute Maureen. And she said, yeah, this is one of my favorite cynicals. It really is for a couple of reasons, not just because I'm with Maureen, but that's part of it. But you know, Father Liuyanuzi has drawn all this out. I mean, I think this took him 14 or 16 years to do. But the importance here is, you know, many of us, and to no fault of our own, we read the volumes and we but, you know, let's tackle this after we begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We thank you, most Holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. The School of Mary invocation. O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and to live in the spirit of our vocation more and more. The spirit of faith, hope, and love. The spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God. The spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility, the spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So as I was saying, Maureen, please add to this, because I'm probably going to forget a lot of things, but what Father's done here, you know, we've got this natural tendency, of course, to draw conclusions, and a lot of times we're correct, but sometimes we can be, especially when it comes to really deep stuff. Like for example, what does Archbishop Beccheri say? We should always have a priest with us to guide us with those theological questions that we may have. Doesn't mean we cannot gather, doesn't mean we cannot cynical, doesn't mean we cannot journey in the divine will unless we have a priest. That's not what he said. But he said we should have one for guidance when we get to those junctures where there's some ambiguity and we're not quite sure. Instead of just taking a stab at it, you know, we might be right, we might be wrong. You know, we ask someone who can give us a conclusion, a conclusive answer, I should say, so we can move forward. And that's what the Archbishop had suggested. And that's not so easy. I mean, first of all, it's not even easy, Maureen, just to get a priest, let alone a divine will priest. But Father has stepped in the breach here. And again, using this, it's as if you have a priest with you. Because again, what the Father has done is he's translated all the volumes. He's then taken it and he's sort of compartmentalized it. He's departmentalized it. He's broken it down. He's giving us summaries of the writings, of the themes of Jesus, of what he was dictating to Louisa. And then he drives us into the volume so that Jesus can take it to the next level. Remember, the ones who are going to teach us this divine will are Jesus and Mary. Everyone else is a cheerleader. Yes, it's going to give us great information. It's going to whet our appetite. It's going to get us excited. But that's how we're going to get the full knowledge. But again, we've got some great help along the way. And again, I think this dissertation is I don't think we value it as valuable as it is, especially in these times right now, because we had the typical edition that's been issued by the Vatican. I think it was a year and a half ago or so, maybe 2 years ago. But the critical has not been released. And the Archbishop, I think a year and a half ago, made the announcement that basically things are on hold. Not because there's any problems, there's no errors with the writings, but he mentioned that word again, and there are ambiguities. There are certain elements of Louisa's writings, which is Jesus and Mary's dictation, that the church cannot explain. Again, Jesus knew this. He says they're going to try to understand this in human terms, and again, without divine grace, without mystical gifts, they're not going to be able to do it. So he foresaw that, and that's where we are right now. We're not quite sure when we're going to have, but it doesn't mean we can't journey. Actually, we can probably grow in faith, trusting our Lord before the church gives its final steps of approval. And again, this dissertation takes us, you know, basically close to the finish line. It does it within the boundaries of what the Archbishop is asking. And more importantly, we're getting it correctly. And that's what basically our Blessed Lord, our Blessed Lady want. They want us to know the truth and to understand the truth. So again, it's God has made this very easy for us. This is, you know, God is giving us the answers to the quiz before we take the quiz. So Marie, anything to add to that?
Yeah.
For some track?
Well, first of all, it's a miracle for me that I would even pick up a book that thick. I mean, I thought I would never voluntarily say, oh, look at that thick book. I think I'll use it, but I'll tell you, I love it. And it, when you're learning the divine will, and even as you've been into it, there's words that come up that you've never heard before. Impassibility, immutability, ab aeterno, you know, all those words. And you can go into the book and look them up. So it's really helpful, because if you don't understand one word in a sentence, you don't understand the whole paragraph. And so for us and our little group that we have, it's really helpful, that book.
No, it is. Because again, another style of reading the volumes is theme-based. You know, you take, like you were just talking about, like, let's talk about fusion. And if you go to the glossary in the back of that book, you may have 50 or 40, you know, passages, footnotes, again, into passages, into the volumes that'll mention about fusing, which gives you the full breadth of it. And it just, it's almost like a quasi-concordance, not fully there yet, but close. Actually, Father's working on that. But it really does help, because to me, theme-based, I learn better. Because I can't read multiple passages a day. I just can't. I can't. My brain goes tilt, and I just can't do it. But that's another great way to do it. As again, there's no, as Jesus says, there's no formulas. But that doesn't mean we can't use templates. That doesn't mean we can't use structures along the way. You know, I think what he meant, what he tried to say, is that, you know, A and B is equal to C, but you can get there also with an A minus and a B plus, if that makes any sense. So it's not one way. There's multiple ways. And again, we've talked about this too, Marie. All roads, all devotions, all apparitions. Our Lord tells us is everything he's done for the church in the last 2,000 years, the sacraments, the saints, the grace, everything has had, well, first of all, everything has been a seed. Because everything is under the primary purpose, which is to bring us back to the order, the place, and the purpose for which we're created by God, to bring us back to the original plan, the prelapse and of Adam before he sinned. So it's all in motion, and it must remain in motion, because again, this is our catechism too. The church's job is to bring us back to that original state. And then when that happens in totality, it's also in our catechism too, that the church and the sacraments will be no more. That's very interesting. I mean, while our journey, while we're growing, while we're living in the divine will, we desperately need the sacraments. They're not going away anytime soon. But in the end, there'll be no need. Just look at the realization of it. Did Adam have the sacraments? Of course not. He didn't need them. But of course, after his fall, we desperately needed them. And the Eucharist, the greatest of all sacraments, because it's the divine will that God's been given to us for how many years? For 2,000 years, for the 15 or 20 minutes to give us a taste of it, to create addicts out of us, if he can. He's really trying hard to do that. And as long as we don't fight him, we're going to. We're gonna eventually become addicted to his love. I think that's a song. I'm not going to sing it for you. But yeah, it's all here. It's all so beautiful. Okay. Mm-hmm. What I thought we'd do, Maureen, we're still in this passage, the summary, I should say. So much things here that I wish we had more time. We're still on 5.3.7.5. We're on a footnote number 302. So I thought, just in the essence of saving time, we can start with just the red here. Mm-hmm. I'll bring the pointer out. I've got some red below this as well.
To Louisa, Jesus reveals that the aim of man's existence is to live in God's divine will and to restore creation to its original splendor by the assimilation of Jesus's groans of love. Louisa illustrates that creation is transformed and set free from its slavery to corruption by those sons of God that possess the divine will. God's will unfolds specifically through his activity in the will of the human being, who, by praying and acting in it, restores the rights of creation.
I mean, we've gotten so far, we meaning humanity has gotten so far off the tracks that you would think it'd be so impossible to get the train back on the tracks. But if you look at the fall, Adam's disobedience, Adam, what was the reason? What was the crux? Jesus tells us as to why Adam fell. He took his gaze off, he took his gaze off God. And that also is represented in, I think, when Peter was walking on the water, he asked a favor. He asked something of Jesus, and Jesus said, walk. And he was walking on water until he took his gaze off Jesus and started looking around him saying, this is pretty dangerous, and then sank. So I think the lesson to us is just keep our gaze on Jesus. And, you know, and that's not literal to the effect that, you know, we have to stare at a picture of Jesus all day long. Even when we're driving, we can't do that. But to have him in our thoughts and our minds and our meditations, and that's why the impromptu rounds are so important. Yes, the rounds in the book are very important also, because that's what Jesus told Louisa. But you're on your way to work. Come to my will, drive in my driving, drink in my drinking. You know, Lord, thank you for the beautiful sun. Lord, thank you for the rain. I mean, God gives us, he says that all of creation is really just nothing more than a mirror to reflect God's love for us. So we have that in every moment, at every time. So again, there's no excuses for that. And I think that also helps us become habitual, because Jesus says also we must make this habit forming so that it can become eventually our second nature, which will then evolve into our nature. And then it becomes obviously we, us, and then we be. Because yeah, this is the difference of the upside down backwards from the saints. The saints did something and that's who they became. He did this, she did that. And that's all great work. Now Jesus says, okay, I want to turn it upside down. I want you to be first and then go out and do. And that also is tied directly to the give up even holy things. It doesn't mean throw them out the window, never do them again, despise them. No, no. But he's saying, put them on hold. Put them on hold until you can embrace this gift and bring everything under the divine will umbrella. That way it's out of the elements, out of the harm. And of course, the greatest difference, delineation, is the fact that now instead of doing something good and it only affecting those around us, now through the grace of God and through God's momentum and mechanism, he can put forward this benefit, this grace to all souls, past, present, and future, just from what we may consider an insignificant act. I mean, this blows my mind, Maureen. He tells us, I don't know where in the volumes, but he says, one act in the divine will, it can be insignificant. It can be a blinking of the eye. It could be driving. Let's say, come divine will, drive my driving. And if God gives us that grace on loan, Jesus says that act alone, although it may last for, let's say, 5 seconds, that act alone is greater than all the acts of all the souls, including all the saints combined. How can that be? Because of the gravity of the difference between the two. One is earthly, good, and holy, and one is divine, never ending, constantly moving, constantly going, with no end. So again, that's way beyond my imagination. It's way beyond my comprehension. But I believe Jesus. I trust him. And again, it all comes down to that. We either believe this or we don't believe this. And if we don't believe it, it's, you know, basically it's a novel. You're laughing. I know I sound like a broken record, but it's true. Do we believe this or do we not believe this? That's the question. It's like Shakespeare. I think you're muted, Maureen.
I was just saying today,
Okay.
I think it's more important that you believe it than understand it.
Absolutely.
So
Absolutely.
it's like when we were little, we memorized those questions. We didn't know what they meant, the catechism questions, but we did it. We believed them, we memorized them. We didn't quite understand it. We understand them later. Just like now, we'll understand it. We believe it because God said it. We're on the right road. Like I see myself on a big road. I'm on the road, you know, and that's half the battle. So I'm on the divine will road, and that makes me happy and feel safe. And now I'm going to learn, and I'm going to try and live it, and I'm going to try and stay on that road. But I was thinking about when you're talking about Adam and Eve and how the big question was always like, before I start reading Divine Will, well, what exactly did they do? Was there a real apple? What kind of sin was it? What did they do? Like some people say, was it sexual sin? Was it a physical sin? What was it? And when I read the Divine Will, what I took it to be was simply this. They went out of the Divine Will. They did their own will. And that was the most important thing, not exactly what the sin was. That wasn't the important thing. The important thing was they did their own will. And then I thought, wow, that must be pretty bad, your own will, if this is what happens for the rest of creation.
Well, think about it. If you're Adam and Eve, you're given everything.
Yeah.
You have the you have the closest relationship you possibly can have with God himself. He gives you everything. And all he says is just one little thing you can't do.
Yeah.
And you probably won't even want to do it. You probably walk right by it. You probably won't even give it second thought, but just to let you know, that's the only thing you can't do. And then, of course, the serpent then and now, he's very tricky. He plays games. What did he do? He goes to Eve and says, hey, go eat that apple. And what does Eve say? Oh, no, God said we can't eat that apple. And then the sly serpent says, did God tell you that directly? And actually, all three accounts of the Garden of Eden call that our Lord spoke to Adam only, gave Adam the instructions not to eat of that apple or that tree, not Eve. So he sowed doubt in Eve. And then the question was, did God really tell you that? And she answered, honestly, she goes, no, he didn't. Because he didn't, he told Adam. And therefore, you know, she got corrupted, she believed, and then she believed the hype, as you would say, as we would say today. And then she convinced and persuaded Adam to do the same. I mean, Adam could have, he could have performed the greatest miracle, the first miracle that for all of humanity by denying Eve's offer. But for whatever reason, he decided to placate her. But you're right. An apple, it could have been a watermelon, it could have been a plant, it could have been a flower, it could have been anything. Mm-hmm. The bottom line, it was a sin of the will, sin of he basically broke his promise. He reneged on the agreement he made with God. And that's one person you don't want to reneg when you make a promise to God. But see, we can learn from all of this. And poor Adam and Eve, they had nobody that went before them that they can say, okay, well, they did that. Let's not mess up like that. Well, he did. No, let's just make sure we don't do that. They had nobody. So yeah, he had omniscience. He knew the ends of his results before he did it. He probably knew, again, with that being said, that he would lose the divine will. But did he actually understand what that meant? Did he understand it fully, what that would be like? He never experienced it. Nobody before him has ever experienced it.
Yeah.
Probably never discussed. So again, he was in this blindly. We are so blessed. We have all these things. I mean,
Bless Mother Louisa.
Yeah. If you want to know what not to do, just ask me about my life and whatever I did, don't do it and you'll be fine. So we've got so many people that we can emulate and so many people that we can say, I want to make sure that I don't emulate, you know, that behavior. We've got so much. And again, Adam didn't have our blessed Lord and our blessed lady. He didn't have that mother that we have, which is incredible. I've been reading as a supplement this this True Devotion to Mary, St. Louis de Montfort. Gosh, it's all divine will. And I know you've read this, Maureen. It's all divine will. It talks about the choices we have and the predestined Again, it's not predestination, but God knows who he was going to introduce this gift to. It's no surprise that all of you are here today. It's very few of us. I mean, think about this dissertation. Think about how great it is. Think about it having abrogation approval by the Holy See through the Pontifical Gregorian University, which many popes have passed through. And yet very few. Very few are actually using it, if you think about it. But that very few quote, I had it somewhere in front of me. Oh, gosh. I don't know if you have it somewhere, too. Right? But Jesus says there'll be very few. Don't look for crowds in the beginning. And the room's definitely not crowded, for any lack of explanation. But you know what? He only needs a few. He said that, too. I mean, look what he did with 12 apostles, 12 fishermen.
Yeah.
So he takes a little bit more than us. He said there'll be very few in the beginning, but all in the end. Again, Father Nuzzi tells us that all souls in purgatory are all living in the divine will. How great it is to go into purgatory or directly into heaven, knowing the divine will. He says the difference is like night and day. It's almost like they're having a parade for you. I'm embellishing it a bit. But another thing also I wanted to mention really quickly before we continue, Maureen, about you saying, you sort of know when you're on the right road. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, actually Father Nuzzi made this comment. He said, the divine will is very difficult to explain in words, but it's very easy to understand once we accept it. Mm-hmm. And I think the pivot in that statement is once we accept it, in essence, once we give our fiat, that's when God waits for us to take the first step. Mm-hmm. So we give our fiat, he gives us the grace to understand it. We give another fiat, he gives us more. So that makes sense. So to try to understand it in our vernacular, I mean, these are divine realities, cannot really be placed in human terms and right. have the robust definition. Just cannot happen. I mean, God is so gracious. He lowers himself to us to speak in our vernacular just so we can sort of get a glimpse of this and then allow him to teach us the language. And the language of heaven is not a vernacular. It's an understanding. It's interior. Again, this is all about the interior life of Jesus. Yeah. That's what's so new about it. It's always been there, but we just knew very little about it.
I think, they always say humility is a great virtue to have, that we all should grow in humility. And I think you have to have a certain amount of humility, first of all, to read this. Because when you're first reading, you're like, I don't get this. And I'm usually pretty much on the ball. I mean, I didn't say that, but I'm saying, people that are smart or people that are intellectual, that you have to have a certain amount of humility to continue in this reading. And the funny thing is, as you continue reading it, then you become a nothing. So that's going up. Because Jesus wants us to be a nothing. When you're humble, you're something. He wants us to be a nothing. And the more of a nothing that we are, the more he can fill us. So that was a new thought for me, that there's something even lower and greater than humility, and it's the nothingness of the soul. And that's where we're really headed. That's where we really want to be.
Yeah. And God gives us the great example too. He says we're nothing but a shadow, and the shadow needs something to cause it, right? So right. Christ is the cause of us, the shadow. Take the cause away, there's no shadow. So we're something with God, we're nothing without God, I guess. Another thing too, sounds like a paradox, but Jesus tells Louisa, again, I don't know where it is, but he says the main ingredient in humility, this sounds like a paradox. He says the main ingredient in humility is confidence.
Oh, yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Because let's just put it in really quick terms. We're reading and we believe this to be true. We know it to be true internally. So that gives us confidence. Now, there's nothing we can prove. We have to prove. We don't go beating around. No, we know it. And now we can relax a bit, for lack of a better phrase, and start to the journey into it. Otherwise, we're constantly trying to prove it to others, and at the same time, probably more importantly, trying to prove it to ourselves.
Yeah.
So we need to recognize it first ourselves, and that makes perfect sense. And the more you think about that, the easier it is to digest. But when you first say it, it sounds like, what do you mean confidence equals humility? Isn't that the opposite? No, overconfidence perhaps is, but not confidence.
Yeah.
Very interesting. One word can make a whole difference. It can sink ships or What, break bridges? What's that phrase? I don't
Yeah.
I forget. Are you ready to move on, Maureen?
Yes.
You've
Yes.
been ready, right? You're waiting for me.
No, no,
Okay.
no, no.
Okay. Let's see. 302. So let's go. We're here. Don't never no time for that right now. Because we're running a little late. I would like to, though, before we go into 302, if we can read this little snippet here, because this is really important. I mean, what God says here is incredible. And again, this will give us that confidence. This will give us that trust, I think.
They will be few, be it even one alone. Was it not one alone, he who, withdrawing from my will, disfigured and broke my plans and destroyed the purpose of creation? In the same way, one alone can adorn it and fulfill its purpose. However, my works never remain isolated, so I will have the army of the souls who will live in my will, and in them I will have my creation restored, all beautiful and striking, just as it came out of my hands. Otherwise, I would not have so much interest in making my will known.
That's a lifter, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you know what's really interesting? Jesus starts off by saying, there will be only few. And then he says later, there's going to be an army. Because over time, this is going to be divulged. This is going to be understood. This is going to be accepted. Like mother just came back and the sister just came back from a trip to Medjugorje. They went to give a talk. And they said, everybody's talking in Medjugorje about the divine will. She says, but then you've got one or two priests from the United States running around disfiguring the divine will, speaking badly about it. And she says, it's just incredible. Yeah, she says, you see this black and white, you see this salt and pepper, you see it everywhere. There's this contrast. And, it's here. It's here. Maybe God allows that, the wheat and the thistle to be together. We, the wheat should be involved in the thistle. Hopefully will come on board with the wheat. But, there'll be few in the beginning. And look at us. There are very few.
Wow.
12 apostles, 12 is here. But that's okay. What did Jesus say? Even if there be one. And we'll do this if there's only one. It's, to me, it's worth it. Okay, so we began, we did this last week. I'm going to bring us up to where we begin this week. And basically, maybe you can just read the heading and we can jump down here, Maureen, if we could, please.
Divine alternating, work and rest, how God always takes the creature by way of love, universal love and special love. And my dear Jesus, wounded by my moans and sustaining me in his arms, said to me, my daughter, do not marvel. This is my usual way. After work, I want to find rest in my same labor, in the midst of my same works, that more than soft bed lends themselves in the act of profound adoration and mute silence to give me rest. Rest after work is the exchange of work. It is just, and I am confident that she makes the sacrifice.
Couple things here that you can really ponder. I first couple times I read this, nothing really jumped out big, but the second line, after work, I want to find rest in my same labor, in the midst of my same works, that more than soft beds lends themselves in the act of profound adoration and mute silence to give me rest. I think this bodes with what Jesus says about, I'm going to give you something. And then basically I'm going to walk away because he wants us to fully chew, swallow, and digest what he's given us before moves on and gives us more. He tells Luis and he tells us also that there's much he's already given us that we have not fully masticated. We have not fully chewed. So that's something we can, that's why I think this break we're taking in October will allow us all to catch up, including me, to catch up on some of these things we talk about. It's so important, but yet, it fleets because we're talking about something else the next day. So God is saying, okay, recognize the work. Then go into that Marian silence, that Marian meditation. Again, the month of Our Lady, the October, the month of the Rosary, coming up, and just invoke Our Lady. I'm going to be putting together something about that. We have to take our relationship. I think we really have to take our relationship, Maureen, with Mary, with our Blessed Mother, to a higher level.
I really do.
I think that's what Jesus wants. I think that's what we need. I think that's what she wants also. Again, she's another one that's not going to force her way into our lives. But once we open the door to her, once we allow her to work in us, all she wants to do is be a mother, to protect us, to nurture us, to bring us to her Son. That's all she wants to do. I mean, we talked about this also. Nothing that Mary said was really of her own. She was always articulating. Yes, it might have been through her perspective, through her uniqueness, yes, but everything was a message from the Father through her Son that she was bringing to all her children. So she was never standing there talking about herself or something that she wants, but this is what the Father's will is, this is what the Son's will is, and this is what the Holy Spirit's will is, which is the pivot player for this era of sanctification. It's the Holy Spirit working in each and every one of us. That's why we need to call on them as well. And today, today's the Feast of the Archangels, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. I couldn't remember that was yesterday. It's been such a long day. But that's another thing. We need to think about how blessed we are to have a guardian angel. We have the other angels, protective angels. We have archangels. I mean, I feel bad for my guardian angels because I've made them work so hard. Really, throughout my whole life.
I think they like to work. Well, it's the ones that don't do anything that we should feel sorry for.
And there's been some talk about that too through some mystics that some of the angels said, I wish I was busier. But I mean, I really tried some angels, and I have to be honest with you, between our Blessed Mother and the angels, and of course, and all under the auspice of God, if it wasn't for the Blessed Mother, I would be dead. Definitely spiritually and probably physically. I came close a couple times. This is all new life for me, but we all have new lives. Remember that phrase, everyone in our old life is playing a different game than we are right now. They're not embracing this, not because they don't want to necessarily. It hasn't triggered in their intellect. It hasn't triggered in their desire. It hasn't triggered in their will yet. But for some strange reason, God has allowed this to resonate in us to the extent that we can say yes. Even if our yes is not 100%, it's enough to say, yes, I want to know more. And that's okay too, because he's going to get us. He's going to cause addicts out of each and every one of us. And that's why the Holy Eucharist at this time is so important, to get addicted to the divine will, which is the Eucharist, for 15 or 20 minutes as the church teaches us. Maureen, you going to say something?
When I picture Our Lady, and I picture me standing under, like wrapped in her mantle, just peeking my head out as a little girl, and that's how I see myself as her child, and it's really comforting. And even though I'm in my 60s, I still see myself as her little child, just peeking out from within her mantle, so the boogeymans don't get me. But the boogeymans are always there. When you're little, but when they get bigger, they're
more dangerous when you get older.
Yeah, and you're housing half of them. So she's always a mother, always a mother. And I bet you most of the people that are in the divine will, she brought them there. If they go back in their journey, it was her.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Jesus probably said, okay, Mother, this is your greatest work, bringing everyone into the kingdom.
He did. He told her, this is your job. You, Mother, dispose the souls to receive this gift. You, Mother, mark your children. Mm-hmm. Wow. But again, the Mother is going to do what the Father wants. The Mother is going to do what the Son wants. The Mother's going to do what the Holy Spirit wants. So they all want us to be. Can you imagine us nobodies and the divine will, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? They all want us to embrace this gift so that they can work miracles in each and every one of us.
I think it's amazing that the Holy Trinity gave us a woman too. You know what I mean? Like, here's God, the almighty, omnipotent God of the three persons of the Blessed Trinity. And he said, oh, let's give them Mary too. She'll be good for that. You know, like Jesus from the cross, he gave everything. And the last thing he gave was his, gave us with his mother too, to boot. It's amazing. But it just sees the power of the woman, of the mother, and what she's meant to be. And that's great.
I think I think God the Father heard some of the complaints from the pews that the women are not represented fully enough. So what did he give us? He gave us the Blessed Mother. And then he gave us Louisa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, all these women limbers, they would love this.
And then
where
he gave
are
us
they?
Right, right. Well, where are all the men today? I don't see any men here. And you know, then he gives us our biological mothers. And you know, mothers really have the toughest job in the world. I mean, I'm going to admit that as a man. It's even recorded. I can't help myself. But yeah, they have the toughest job only because they can do it. We can't.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if we had to bear children? We would never
Yeah.
repopulate. We would have been extinct by now.
Yeah.
So women really, I think, are the tougher species. But again, God has this order. You know, and since Adam sinned, it needed to be a male to restore that gift, that grace, that life that Adam had. And but his mother our mother is so great that if you don't understand her, it's so easy to go against her. Oh, no, she can't be that, because it sounds incredible, but she is incredible. But you have to get to know her. Again, she's not going to force her way into your lives, into our lives. But once we invite her in, she's staying. I can guarantee that. And we've got a great feast coming up too on the, is it the 12th, Our Lady of the Pillar?
Oh, I know the 7th is Our Lady of the Rosary.
Our Lady of Rosary, yeah. Lady of the Pillar, which is, I didn't know much about it, but it's when she had in 36 AD, she came before St. James to give encouragement, to give guidance to him and the apostles who were having some difficulty then. I mean, that's when things were starting to ramp up. And of course, in another 35 years, the miraculous force starts from the Levites, and that morphs into the Freemasons. And then all of a sudden we've got this, this organized attack against Christ and his church, and that's continuing today. We have a few minutes left. How are you on time, Maureen? Okay.
Good. Yeah.
Okay. Great. We can continue, please.
Okay. Did I not do the same in creation? First, I created it with my fiat, because our word is work, is step, is everything. And after everything was ordered and operated, I found the most beautiful and sweet rest. These are the alternating of our supreme will, work and rest. Work calls us to rest, and rest calls us to work. Therefore, don't you want that I rest in your soul? Everything that you see in yourself is nothing other than work of your Jesus.
Really quick, I think that is so important right here. I mean, it doesn't sound like a lot. It's only one sentence. Let me bold this and underline this. Everything that you see in yourself is nothing than work of your Jesus. And you might say, well, wait a minute, what about when we don't act, or when we act improperly? Is that also Jesus? Well, you've got that mysterious permissible will of God's, who allows the natural order in most instances to play out. But again, God's not going to allow anything bad to happen to us unless he's intending to create a greater good out of it. And that's his promise. And I think we can all just do a quick test. Just go back in your lives and grab one or two of the most difficult, most earth-shattering moments of your life. It might have been a tragedy, it might have been an illness, it might have been a sickness, it might have been death, whatever it is. Go back to that when it seemed to be the worst situation in the world for you in your life. And then just ask the question, if God's mysterious, permissible will did not allow that event to happen, and with all its redirection, would you be here today? The answer is no. You probably wouldn't. And I put that in the same silly category. Well, not silly category, but this is silly. But go back to our genealogy. We're here from how many, descendants of grandfathers and grandmothers? Well, what about our great, 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 great grandmother? What if she was sick? What if she was scared? What if she was, she forgot to meet great, 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 great grandpa that day that they met and they fell in love? We wouldn't be here. Anything could have happened to any one of them. They could have been hit by something. They could have suffered an illness, but they didn't. And they had children, and they had children's children, and they had our parents, and our parents had us. So everything had to work exactly the way it did. No matter how chaotic or confusing it looks, it had to. And to me, that's a miracle in and of itself, that we're here. We didn't ask to be born, but we're born. Mm-hmm. We didn't ask for the divine will before we knew it, and we were given it. How gratuitous is our Lord? How can we not, after he's given us his all, how could we not give him our all? But yet it's difficult. It's so easy that it's difficult. What's that phrase? This is simple truths for complicated souls. Really? We overcomplicate things. I mean, think about all that we've received so far, Maureen. All the cynicals we've gone to, all the conferences we've gone to, all the videos we've watched, all the, the ebook series we've done. We have enough. If everything was to stop tomorrow, we have enough. We really do. We have more than enough. So we need to turn that corner. We need to take this to another level, especially, I think, as we spoke about this morning. And on other programs, we need to take it to another level with Our Lady first, I think. Because that'll please our Lord. And what is Our Lady? Our Lady's always bringing us back closer to her Son.
Well, if the grid goes down, we'll go to another level. We won't have the internet. We're like, oh my gosh, I don't have my notes. Well, I really have to do it now. Now, what am I supposed to do? Yeah, no more videos.
That's true. Well, may as well mention that because I've been getting some emails. There's some talk about something on October 4th. It might be October 11th. It's going to be a test of the emergency broadcasting system. I remember this as a kid, as a child growing up. This is only a test in the event of a real emergency. By the way, but what they're going to do is FEMA's running it this time. And if you look at the website of FEMA, you'd be shocked at the power they have. But anyway, so they're saying that there's going to be some high frequency tone or signal that's going to be sent through this test that's going to activate some graphene or some other things I don't understand, but it's not good. So they're suggesting these people that all cell phones, all devices that have any internet connection whatsoever or cell service to be disconnected between 2 and 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on October 4th. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't happen, if this test doesn't happen on the 4th, it's supposed to be scheduled on the 11th. I did see a glimpse of this on the FEMA website of this test. Again, they don't mention about this high frequency. They just mentioned it's going to be a test of the emergency broadcast, for your protection, of course.
Of course.
We want to protect you so we can kill you.
Anything with letters, FEMA, all the other WHO, CDC. I'm like, ooh. We just go with the Holy Spirit, the HS.
That's it.
And DW.
DW, absolutely.
The BVM, the Blessed Virgin Mary. They're the letters we like.
Right. Don't forget the BVDs, too.
Oh, yeah, the BVDs. That's right. We're not supposed to fear. So we go forward in the defense of truth. That's what we do.
And the American way. What was that? It was like Superman. That was the... I think that was the jingle for Superman.
Oh, really?
Thank you for giving me a smile for that, Maureen. I appreciate that. We have something really exciting. We have Mother Gabriel and the Benedictine Daughters that are coming to us live. The live stream from Italy. We're getting close. A mother and four sisters are going to be moving to Tennessee, to Marysville, Tennessee, on the 25th of October. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be alternating Sundays in between Tennessee and Italy. Whoa. So it's going to be a a pack in Italy. There's gonna be a pack in Tennessee,
Nice.
and then we're going to be scheduling hopefully something in 2024, as long as we can move about. We're going to schedule something with Mother in Tennessee. Maybe we can all take a road trip there.
Oh,
Yeah.
yes, I would love
And
that.
get, yeah. So we're planning something for 2024, maybe the spring of 24. I think by that time they'll have their facility and they'll be ready to go and ready to
Nice.
entertain. So yeah, we're just doing the best we can. So pray for her that the move, Mother's still not feeling great. She's not 100%. And there's a lot of stress on her, but she takes everything so eloquently. So just, yeah, pray for them. Keep Mother in your prayers. And keep each and every one of us in each other's prayers, because we're all we have. We're all we have. Next to God, we're all we have. And God never intended for us to be alone. He wanted us to be in solidarity with each other, and of course with Him first. So, thanks be to God. Marina, any closing
Amen.
thoughts?
No, I'm ready for that road
Okay.
trip. I can't wait.
Yeah, I know. I'm excited about that too.
Yeah,
Yeah, to
yeah.
Marysville.
Marysville.
I think for me it's about a 12-hour drive, so that's might be a 2-day drive for me. Well, yeah, I can do that. I drove Father DeMaio to Florida, and I drove 20 hours straight. I
Wow.
just made stops, just making frequent bathroom stops and drink and
Yeah.
eat stops. And it's like
It's
every
in
time you get
the
back in the car,
journey. It's in
yeah,
the
well,
journey, Peter.
it is in the journey. How could I be so dumb? Wednesday night, journey in the exile. Jesus says this. It's not just when you get to the end. Yes, that's the end game. That's the end goal. But you have to enjoy the journey. And by enjoying the journey, by receiving the grace and graces from God, because our journey is a journey for others as well. We stand in the breach during our journey. We stand in the breach during our cynicals. Because again, we have the confidence to possess humility, and therefore everything works. It's all here. It's all so beautiful. God has made this really simple. So simple, yet so difficult. Thanks be to God.
Okay.
Thank you, Maureen.
Thanks,
See
Peter.
everybody hopefully on Sunday with Mother Gabriel and the Benedictine Doors. I think we're going to have a full crew. I think they're all back. They're all ready to go. And I can't wait for that. Okay, so be
Nice.
kind to one another. We're going to need each other very, very soon. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.